Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to Fight Back. We appreciate you being here this morning. It is beautiful, 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 beautiful Tuesday morning here in Tampa Bay. It's going to be in the 90s today. I know it's October 2nd, and a lot of people are experiencing a little fall weather. We are too for Florida. We're experiencing a little fall weather. It's going to be in the 90s every day this week. So that's kind of how we roll here in Central Florida. And August was the hottest month since they've been keeping records, supposedly. So there isn't any reason why we think it's going to get cooler anytime soon. We can still sit inside in our nice air-conditioned homes while that electric meter is spinning off the building, enjoying our 72 degrees in indoors and enjoying our latte, our pumpkin spice lattes from our Keurigs. That's kind of how we have to experience fall. We don't experience in the same ways that you do. And by the same token, in February, we'll be able to go out and hit some golf balls. There you go. Maybe in January, maybe on Christmas Day, definitely on Thanksgiving, we'll be able to go out and hit some golf balls, or maybe take the boat out on the Gulf or the Bay. That's kind of how we live here. today I want to talk about the subject of the program is the left imploding? A long time ago, I guess, right after the election of Donald Trump, I did some programming, and you can look back into the archives and check those out, where I said to people that I knew, all of this protest, like the Women's March on the day after the inauguration, and all the protests and all the screaming and yelling and primal screaming that you saw, people were wondering, well, how long are they going to keep this up? You know what I'm saying? They're like, how long are they going to keep this up? And I said to people, I hope they keep it up for a long time. I hope they don't get tired. I hope it doesn't become a drag to them. You know what? In Alinsky's Rule for Radicals, he mentioned that if the tactic becomes a drag, people don't like it anymore, then you have to stop doing it. But apparently some people are still liking it, or they're paying people to do it, so it continues. And I said what would happen, and it's starting to happen. And I think it's starting to happen now. You may not think it's starting to happen. You may think it's something else entirely. Is that there are a lot of people who are Democrats. And I'm not saying that they're leftists. I'm not even saying that they're necessarily liberals, who are looking at these events, who are looking at these handmaiden events at the, for instance, at the Kavanaugh hearings, and thinking, this is too much. Who are looking at these allegations. And I'm not going to say on this program, you probably already know how where I fall on all of this. I'm not going to say yay or nay, because this is not what this program is about today. So I'm not going to get into that discussion. So they're looking at these and saying, this is too much. This is so political. It's too much. This is not what I signed up for. And I said this earlier, that there will be people who are Democrats, again, not necessarily, not, I mean, they may be liberal, but they may be Democrats, but they're not leftists. They still want people to stand, Democrats who want people to stand for the national anthem, who take their kids to music lessons and to ballet, who work hard, who believe that people ought to work hard for what they get, But at the same time, they want to take care of people who can't take care of themselves. They're not all excited about people who taking care of people who won't take care of themselves. You know what I'm saying? These are people who just happen to be Democrats, who are voted democratically, or who are voted Democrat because their parents were, or whatever, or they're more closely aligned to the Democrat Party than they are to what the Republican Party is, at least in their mind, which is the most important place, right? Those people are going to start peeling off. I told people they'll start peeling off. Now, they're not going to become rabid conservative Republicans. They're just not going to. It's not in their DNA. They don't believe in that bit of radicalism either. But they're going to start peeling away, and it's starting to happen. It's starting to happen. Not everybody is down. Even people who are Democrats, even people who are liberals, aren't down with what leftists are doing. They're not down with disturbing people in restaurants when they're trying to eat with their families. They don't. They think that that sort of behavior is reprehensible. They don't like it. They don't want to be attached to it. They don't want to be involved with it. They don't want to be associated with it. And they're starting to peel off, starting to back away a little bit. Now, the chances of them voting Democrat locally is very high, is extremely high. They're going to. In their local elections, as long as the person doesn't seem too radical, that's exactly what they're going to do. That's how that's going to play out. So I don't want any people who are conservatives who are listening to this program saying, "Oh, they're going to vote Republican." I don't think that for one bit, and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't depend on these people that I'm talking about to suddenly start voting Republican. They've never voted Republican in their lives, and they're going to start voting Republican. They're just not going to, and they're not going to get a MAGMA hat and wear it to work. They're not going to. I'm gonna tell you, they're just not going to, because Democrats, and they've been Democrats all their lives, and they will continue to be Democrats. And what they're doing is that they're just sort of waiting. You feel me? Sort of waiting until the Democrat Party comes back around to where they are. And in the same sense that there are a lot of I'm not talking about rabid conservatives, but Republicans who are waiting until the Republican Party comes back around to where they are. They may think that the Republican Party has gone a little radical or too radical, and they're just going to wait. They're not going to become Democrats. They're not going to become liberals or leftists, but they're going to sit quietly and wait. So there's a lot. I think there's a lot of that going on. But in any case, What I want to talk about a little bit today is the left imploding, or are we at the beginning of seeing a revolution? Is this the harbinger of a major shift in America, in the United States? Is this the beginning of a major shift? It's been since the 1960s since we've seen such political upheaval. Some of the issues were different. For instance, the war in Vietnam was front and center in most protests, while our military involvement in the Middle East hardly gets mentioned. Race, of course, is still a protest go-to, and now attacks on capitalism are more prevalent. Some may say that the 1960s propelled us into the life that we're living today, and thus were effective. Others may say that it was just a brief youthful rebellion, and things settled down, and what we are seeing now is the same or similar, that things will settle down, and we'll go back to, I'm not sure what we're going to go back to, right? We're going to go back to what? You know what, but I've heard people say this, and I'm like, I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that what we're seeing now is like we saw in the 60s, especially because of the attacks on capitalism. We saw the Occupy Wall Street movement, and there was a really good reason why it was on Wall Street. Now it spread out to occupy Tampa, occupy Atlanta, occupy occupy the bathroom, occupy Target. It turned into occupy whatever, but it was directed mainly at Wall Street, which is why it was called Wall Street. So it was. It was sort of directed at the financial people to start with, right? Right? So it was directed at the financial people to start with. It was directed at our financial system to start with. Not necessarily the people, but the financial system to start with. And our financial system in America, our economic system, is based on capitalism. Correct? Correct. It's sort of, I'm going to tell you, so it's a sort of weird hybrid capitalism, because we've got things like Social Security. There you go. There's social in its name, leading to a socialist type program in its name. The difference is that people pay into Social Security, and then they get more out than they pay in. Kind of like a Ponzi scheme, right? And then the people who are paying, people who get something out, are benefiting from the people who are paying in. That seems classic Ponzi scheme to me. But the heart of it was that it was going to take care of people who didn't have pensions. It's going to take care of people who didn't have retirement in their old age. Now, it was fine as long as we were all dying at 60. It was fine as long as we were all dying at 62, 63 years old, and people were barely tapping into that pool of money. But now that, because of medical advancement and food and food additives and medicine and the like, we're all freaking hanging on till 78, 80 years old. Well, now it's a problem. It was fine as long as we were dying in our early 60s, but we're not dying in our early 60s anymore. We're dying in our late 70s and our early 80s, and some beyond that. So that's become problematical for the system, right? There you go. Which is maybe why it's easier. Maybe that's why it's easier or cheaper to get a large French fry than it is some fresh vegetables in a lot of major cities. So this is going to continue to be an interesting dynamic. So again, we are looking at what we're talking about very, very, very differently. Is this the same thing? These have been attacks on capitalism. Occupy Wall Street was at its core. If you look at the Women's March, if you look at the imagery of the Women's March, they've had a style. I think it was on the Exceptional Conservative Network internet TV program. I did something that showed, what the imagery. It had a stylized pink fist. The difference was, I'm holding my hand, was the thumb was out instead of tucked in like a regular fist, and the nails were painted to feminize it. But if you look at the imagery of a socialist fist, it's very much the same imagery, because it's very much the same thing. It's all born from the same thing, is to overturn the economic system. Because if you can overturn the economic system, you can overturn the system. So all these attacks and all these protests now are basically designed to overturn capitalism. Now, Donald Trump is the sort of straw man target of all these things, and came along for the leftists at the most opportune of moments. It would have been a little more difficult to sort of throw the same rocks and the same dirt and the same mud at somebody like a Marco Rubio. Now, I don't think it would have been any more difficult to throw the same sort of rocks and the same sort of mud at someone like Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush, very wealthy family, very well connected. His father and his brother had been president of the United States. His dad used to work for the CIA. Very wealthy family, very much rooted in capitalism, very much rooted in being connected economically and financially to people all over the world. A little bigger target for the leftists than someone like a Marco Rubio. Fairly humble beginnings. Still, his connection with the Bushes is problematical for the left, but not nearly as much as a Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush was governor of Florida. Y'all get what I'm saying. So this is all about capitalism. It's all about knocking down capitalism. But again, the same people that I mentioned earlier, people who, the Democrats, who work, some of them work two jobs. Sometimes everybody in the house works, you know, mom and dad work. And they take their kids to soccer practice. They take their kids to ballet and music lessons. They believe in helping people. I mean, they volunteer at their church, you know, what they're Christian people. You know, they're people who believe in patriotism, who honor people who serve their country. We're talking, but they're still Democrats and they still vote Democrat and probably will, at least for some time now, continue to vote Democrat. But what they're not doing is they're not supporting, especially out loud, some of the behaviors that they're seeing from the left. So, as the left continues its behaviors, do they have, I guess my main question this morning is, do they have the support that they seem to have, or are they just making a lot of noise because it's so much easier to make a lot of noise? It's so much easier to get that attention, especially through social media. It's, I mean, you don't have to necessarily have the, you know what, the TV media or the newsprint media, you know, in your back pocket. They happen to, in my opinion, but you don't necessarily need that as much as you did, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, where you can be on YouTube or you can be even on Facebook, your own media company, or on Instagram or Tumblr, you can be your own media company. You can be a couple of individuals who sit at a table and make sure that they post to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube. And you do that for 6 hours a day or 7 hours a day. And it seems like you've got a huge presence, but it just may be a couple or three of you. You see what I'm saying? So, so it's much, much easier to have a huge presence. It's much easier to get to say something outrageous and hopefully get CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or somebody else to follow you on Twitter. And then you say something outrageous or even, you know what, threatening. And then you get the attention that you want, where that used to be much more difficult to do. But now, due to social media, it's not. It just isn't isn't nearly as difficult to do. So you see that, but do you see the real support? Do you see the grassroots support behind some of these things? Besides that, you know what, that support some of these activities. Now, we have gotten people on social media who say, you know what, sometimes, you know, you have to punch a fascist in the face, and that sort of, we see this on TV, that sort of violence is okay. Like we all saw at one of the Trump rallies, this, I think it was in Texas, this lovely white smiling woman who came out and I'm trying to remember what the situation was. I think she was just going to her car. She was just, and she was smiling and she was sort of waving at protesters. She wasn't being confrontational. It's like, oh, look, all these people are out here and they're mad, blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to try to get in my car and get up out of here because I'm done. And then suddenly, because she was smiling, there was, you know what, people throwing eggs at her face. I guess it would have been worse if had they been boiled eggs, but they were raw eggs. They were throwing it. I mean, they were trying to hurt her. They were trying to injure her. And at her only crime, and I put crime in quotations marks, is that she was wearing a MAGMA hat. MAGMA is Make America Great Again hat. I think as I remember the picture, is that she had sort of this flag like blouse or something on, and she had been to a Trump rally, and she had and seemed like she was a supporter of then candidate Trump, and that seemed to be her only crime. So it was okay to physically attack her. The college professor who hit somebody in the back of the head with a bike lock because they were there at, I think it was Berkeley. Yes, Berkeley. They were there to stand up for free speech when Berkeley turned away Milo Yiannopoulos and then Ben Shapiro, who don't agree on much. But they're far from being leftists. So Berkeley said no, because there was voices at the in their student body who said that they shouldn't speak there. Again, the left is about, you know, it used to be in the 60s, like we were talking about, used to be about free speech. But they don't seem to be about free speech anymore. They don't seem to be about free speech anymore. What they seem to be about is only promoting the speech. Promoting the speech that they agree with. And I don't think that that's those people that I'm talking about, those Democrats that I keep talking about, are down with necessarily. I don't think that they, you know, I don't think they think that way. I think they're still of the mind that everybody should have the ability to say respectfully what's on their mind and what their opinion is, and not be physically injured because of it. And they should be able to say so. They should be able to stand up and say so, even if it's counter to the culture. Remember, a lot of these people that I'm talking about were part of the counterculture of the 60s, especially people who are my age and maybe a little older. Because, you know, I was born in 1960. So I was, you know, at the end of the 60s, I was 9. I was hardly counterculture at 9. So I'm talking about people who may be in their mid-60s now, who have grandchildren now. Those were the people I'm talking about, who were probably at the end of the 60s in their, you know, people who were in the 60s in their 20s are people who now, who are like the Dianne Feinsteins, people of that age, people who are, if you look at the Senate Judiciary Committee, a lot of people who are in their mid-80s. So that's kind of who we're talking about. But we're hardly, the left is hardly about, yes, you know, everybody just gets to say what you want. Yeah. And then we'll sit down and then we'll have conversation about it, and we'll have debate, and we'll have open, honest debate and come to some sort of agreement. The left is about shut this down, because fascists, because this is what the left does, attaches a name to it, a pejorative to it, and now they don't have to treat it like it's real. They don't have to treat it like it has any value. It's kind of what they do, right?
Excuse
Excuse me. So is this behavior good for the left? Are they imploding? Or are we seeing a rebirth of the 60s that will have any sort of effect in 20 years? So as we sit here in 2018, will somebody else be sitting behind a microphone like this talking about the effects of the 2010s, the 2010s? And did those protests in the late 2010s have any effect on how people live 20 years from now, our sensibilities and sensitivities 20 years from now? Or will it be just another youthful rebellion and then things settle down? And we're seeing what we're seeing today as something similar. Or is the left imploding? I don't think, for a second, let me help you. I don't think for a second it would be okay outside the reign of Christ that one political party or even one political ideology rule the day. And because then you can't have exactly what I'm talking about. Then you can't have debate. Then you can't have the expression of ideas. And we desperately need debate and the expression of ideas. Desperately. Because that's how you get better. Even the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. But are we at a place where that's not possible? Are we at a place where that's not possible, where we have so much animosity and rage that it's not possible to sit down and have conversations? Now, I don't think so. I don't think we're there. A lot of people think we're there. And you may think that we're there. I don't believe that we're there. And if you think, you know what, give me your opinion one way or the other. You can send me an email at wls860@gmail.com. That's wls860@gmail.com. I have my email open right now. So I'm ready to read your emails here on the air. That's wls860@gmail.com. We can talk about it right now. If you think that we are too far gone to have discussion, to have input, to have respectful debate. Now, I personally don't think that, because I've had discussion and debate with people here on this program. 646-787-1741, 646-787-1741. Where we decided beforehand that we were going to be respectful to one another, that we made that decision before the conversation starts. And I think that that's the key, that you have to make that decision before the conversation starts. Because once the conversation starts and you've not made that decision to be respectful, then it can go off the rails. Saturday or Sunday, one of my friends posted something and created a Facebook Messenger group. Oh, and by the way, I hate that. I hate Facebook Messenger groups that somebody else creates. I do. Hang on just a second. I'm reading an email. I got included in this group and it happened to you too. And you always, cause I always go, oh God, I wish they wouldn't do that. But this guy's a friend of mine and I like him a lot. So I'm not going to scold him except I guess I am, right? Please don't include me in these groups. And the conversation turned to who? Who else? Who did it turn to? That's right. turned to Donald J. Trump, President of the United States. And there are people in the group who thinks he, who think that he's Beelzebub. I don't think anybody in the group thought that he was the best thing that ever happened to the world. I mean, there was somebody who was all magma about him. And I tell you, my first comment was, as I saw the conversation start to get a little testy, that we should be careful, that we don't go too far, and then there'd be a fence, right? That was my first post in that whole thing, was like, hey, let's be careful. Let's not go too far here. You know, we're all friends here. Actually, I guess a lot of those people knew each other, but I didn't know anybody. But you know what? So let's not go too far in any of this. Let's not do that. And I got an immediate not. You know what? You know, little angry face, little thumbs down thing. I got one of those immediately. Like, oh my goodness gracious. And I should have just stayed out of it. I should have just closed it and left the conversation. But I didn't. And I posted later on that, and I've said this before, that because it was a bunch of religious people, a bunch of people who purport Christianity. I said, you know what? If we look back, I want to say this to you first here. Donald Trump is not Paul or Saul of Tarsus. Is not. I don't know if Donald Trump is a Christian or not. I don't believe that he is a born-again believer, filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues. I don't know that to be true. And if I had to guess, I would say he probably is not. I would say that he is the typical secular Christian who says, I believe in God, but doesn't know anything about who God is, doesn't know anything about who Christ is, has not read a page from the scriptures in his life. That would be my thought, which makes him a lot unlike Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was an educated man in the Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? So please, when I say this, please know that this is the only comparison that I'm making. Saul of Tarsus was someone who terrorized, literally, and I'm using that word on purpose, terrorized followers of Christ. Terrorized them. He was a tax collector, which made him, tax collectors and lawyers have always been the bad guys, right? They've always been on the outs. So he had persecuted folks for their beliefs, persecuted people for their beliefs. And then one day on the road to Damascus, he was struck blind and then asked, why are you persecuting me? And then things changed and he turned into Paul, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Completely different, right? You know what I'm saying? So God used, and this is an offshoot here of this conversation, God used Saul of Tarsus, a person who had been a persecutor of Christians, as one of the most important figures in the New Testament. Now, Paul's heart changed, obviously, through this big event. Now, I don't know if Trump's heart is changing or it's going to change. I don't know. Because he's definitely not Saul of Tarsus. He hasn't persecuted anybody. And again, my thought is that he's not that versed in the scriptures or intends to be. You understand what I'm saying? But God can use anybody. Anybody. Including me, which is even more amazing. Or you, or Trump, which is what I wrote as a message in this Facebook group. And boy, you would have thought that I had cussed everybody's mama. You would have thought that I had cussed everybody's mama. Now, I made all the same caveats in the Facebook posts that I just made just now. There was no having conversation. There was no thoughtful debate. There was no, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way. But here's where I think you're missing it. There was none of that. There was venom and screaming and yelling, and it was absolutely amazing. To the person who started the group, decided because of the level of conversation to disband it, and that's the first time that I had ever been kicked out of one of those groups. But as I felt about it in some kind of way, but then I saw that I was one of the last people kicked out of the group. Then I didn't feel about it a certain way, like I did when I got the notification that I had been kicked out of the group. So the conversation wasn't continuing, or maybe it continued in a new group and I wasn't included, because I really want to be the same sort of calming voice that you hear now. That's who I want to be. I want to be like, let's just think about this for, before we get nutty. Can we just think about this for a minute? We can, right? We can just think about this for a minute, right? We don't have to have a position staked in cement right now, do we? I want to be that guy. So can we even have those conversations now? I believe we can. If you think we can or we can't, send me an email at wls860@gmail.com. But again, is the left imploding? Are they imploding? Are they so far, they're so radical that they're simply not getting the support, the regular support from rank and file Democrats or even rank and file liberals as they will need to be successful? What do we see? What did we see a little bit ago? See, I always go back to what did we see? We saw a little bit ago, we saw in 2016, we saw Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in the presidential election. It's like the Twilight Zone. It just really was like the Twilight Zone. And every source that had been a trusted source, especially in the news media, had handed this election off to Hillary Clinton like you would hand off a Super Bowl win if the teams were the New England Patriots and Tom Brady in his prime against any Cleveland Brown team. It was obvious that they were. I mean, okay, stop. I know that Cleveland and New England can't be in a Super Bowl because they're in the same conference. I know that, but you know what I'm saying, right? Every expert, every pundit would hand that game off to Tom Brady in his prime, throwing the Randy Moss on one side, you know what I'm saying, and Gronk on the other. Nobody would give Cleveland a chance. Nobody gave Trump a shot. Nobody did. But guess what? I mean, Hillary Clinton is not president of the United States. Donald Trump is. And the left still seems to be. I don't think Democrats are. I think Democrats are like. Democrats are. Like, well, let's get back to work and see if we can build candidates and build communities and stuff. Or what can they do? What can we do? We got to build. I mean, we got to do stuff in the next few years so we can win this election, right? So we got to win the midterms. We got to win the election, you know, win 2020. And that makes and that, because that's a typical thing. If Hillary Clinton had won, it would have been okay. You know what? The Republicans would have suffered. Let's see, losses in 2008, losses in 2012, losses in a loss in 2016 at the highest level. That's three major elections that they would have gotten their butts whipped, and that would have made them. And I've said this in programs, and you can go back and listen to them if you'd like. That would have made the Republican Party pretty much irrelevant for the next 30 years. Irrelevant. It'd have been so crushed. But that didn't happen. Strangely enough, that didn't happen. So now the Republican Party, although not the most relevant group of people in the whole world, they are being bolstered up by the same rank and file conservatives that have bolstered them in the past, that bolstered them in 2010 to winning back the House, and then in 2014 winning back the Senate, although by a very slim majority, by a very, very slim majority, with people still like Lisa Murkowski and Jeff Flake and the late John McCain on the Republican side. And I'm putting air quotes when I say Republican side. They may be Republicans, but they're not Trump supporters. Those three people I mentioned, right? So the left acted out in a way that the global left acts out. The global left is different than rank and file Democrats, my opinion. Different. The global left is more likely to use violence than the rank and file Democrats. Rank and file Democrats are very unlikely to use violence. Very, very much unlikely to use violence for political means, while the global left is more likely to use violence, more likely to throw things through windows, more likely to start fires. I mean, more likely to to use violence. The kind of violence especially the kind of violence that we see now, or that we've seen at the end of the Occupy Wall Street debacle, and now what we see in other places. You know what I'm saying? So is this going to be, is it too much for the American left? My answer is probably yes. Now, I cannot tell you how it's going to play out. Why? Because my crystal ball is broken and my Ouija board got wet, and I don't know what the little things are. So I can't tell you how the future is going to play out in this matter. We can all just, get your popcorn, kids, because it's going to be different. I think it's going to be different than we expect. I do. I think it's going to be different than everybody expects. again, I'm not so confident that this is a revolution. And this is how things are going to change. I am not so confident that that's the fact. I know some of you are, that things are going to change and they're never going to come back. They're never going to be the same again. And I don't think that, to that degree is necessarily true. I do believe that every time that we have, maybe 20 years or 30 years, that we have this sort of a upheaval, it does direct us in a path, because in this sort of situation here, like we're in now, where there is obviously leftist upheaval, and I think for the first time there has been some upheaval on the right as well, some disruption on the right, some of it. fighting what they think is the internal monster. Others of people on the right fighting what they consider the external monster. And so there have been pushback where, I don't know, I didn't really see the pushback. Again, when the 60s ended, I was 9. I'm going to go back to that. When the 60s ended, I was 9 years old. And I was in, I don't know, third grade, fourth grade at 9 years old, whatever like that. You see, eight is third grade, second grade. I was in third grade or whatever. I was more interested if the Jackson 5 had a new single out. I was much more interested in that than how things were going politically. We saw some of the protests on TV with Uncle Wally on the CBS Evening News. Not that I really understood what was going on at that point. excuse me. It did send our nation down a path. And I don't know, and I don't remember if there was the level of resistance to the left that there is now. Now, the left has a voice and platforms that they didn't have before, but they have now. But the right also has access to the same platforms. We can do this that I'm doing today. We can have YouTube channels. Now, even though there is pushback from the left from conservatives on YouTube, people like Alfonso Rachel, who basically had most of his videos demonetized. So you can't do it full time if you can't make any money. Why? Because not that you're trying to get rich. You're just trying to live. You're trying to eat and live indoors. That's all. So after PJ Media went down between Facebook, Twitter, and the demonetization of his videos, then he was stopped. He just couldn't keep it up. And I understand that. I've been doing these podcasts since March 25th, 2008. And there have been periods of time, other than the time that I was ill, where I just couldn't afford to do it. I couldn't afford what the $39 was or $29 was to come on a broadcast every day or every other day. I just couldn't afford it. I didn't have the money. So I had to do something else. You know, my personal YouTube channel has been demonetized. I can't, you know, so I don't make a lot of videos, a lot of political videos on YouTube anymore because, first of all, they've been demonetized. So there's no way to get any income from them. They've changed their partnership agreement to where I'm not even close at this point to getting any money anyway, because you have to have 4,000 hours of view and 1,000 subscribers. I'm not near either of those metrics. So this is, I'm come back to, you know, I always come back home. Come back home to Blog Talk Radio, right? And I've reached a few thousand people this month. And I hope to reach a few thousand more people next month and into the 2000, and through the elections. And you know what? So I understand, but there is a pushback from the right that there wasn't before. And there's a pushback from the right from a different demographic than we had before. The pushback, and if there was any pushback from the left in the 60s, it was the parents of the hippies and the protesters. It was their parents. It was the baby boomers. Those are the people who are pushing back. They didn't have nearly the voice. They had the power because they had power of the media. They had power of the purse, but they didn't have nearly the alacrity. They didn't have really the functionality. There wasn't this social media thing going on. So it was much, much different. And now you've got people like me who I'm at the end of the baby boomer generation pushing back, but you also have millennials, people who are a similar age group pushing back. You have Gen Xers and Gen Zers pushing back. Yes, you have that the counterculture now in Generation Z are the conservative kids, not Republican kids, but conservative kids, kids who think that people ought to get over themselves. People who aren't and kids who aren't triggered by every single thing that happens. Who consider themselves, and I'm doing this with air quotes, woke. Who say, I'm not a racist. I've not been a racist. My parents aren't racist. We haven't owned slaves. We think these things are terrible. But just because we're white doesn't mean that we're wrong on everything. That's not right, and that's not fair, and I'm not going to live that way. So it is, sorry, that mic cord. I've told you about that, my headphone cord that's really long. That I love it that it's really long, but it trips me, and I fall, and my microphone hits the ground, bang. And, anyway, so we've got the counterculture of the Gen Xers who are more conservative, and you've got the counterculture of the Gen Zs that are a lot more conservative than some of their contemporaries. So you even get pushback there that hasn't happened before. So because of that, I don't know if we're going to veer off to a great degree to the left in the next 5 or 10 years. I think that we may shift a little bit. And I think if we might shift a little bit right, actually. Not to any great extreme, mind you. I don't think that there'll be anything, any shift to the extreme right for sure. That's not going to happen. So don't get all happy and get out your Confederate flags and start waving them, because that's not going to happen either, because the Gen Zers that I'm talking about and the Gen Xers I'm talking about don't like the Confederate flag and don't like what they believe the Confederate flag stands for either. I think that the Gen Zers and the Gen Xers are taking, especially the young Gen Zers and Gen Xers are taking what I think personally is a little bit more rational viewpoint, a little bit more pragmatic viewpoint of what they're dealing with. They don't think that calling people names is a good idea. They don't think that being rude to people for no reason is a good idea. They don't think that they believe that racism is bad. They believe that sexual assault is terrible. You know what I'm saying? They don't have as big a problem with homosexuality, same-sex marriage. They don't care. They like do whatever you want. They're a little bit more libertarian than a lot of Republicans. They're a little bit more libertarian than a lot of so-called conservatives. They don't care. They can't figure out why anybody else cares either. You know what I'm saying? They don't care, and they can't figure out why anybody else cares either. They are more likely to say, yeah, I don't smoke pot because it's gross and it's stupid, but if you want to smoke pot, go right ahead. I don't care. And they can't imagine why anybody else cares if somebody else smokes pot. So they're more likely to say, should pot be legalized? They're more likely to say, yeah, I don't care. Sure. They're more likely to say, should same-sex marriage be legal? They're more likely to say, sure, I don't care. Do whatever you want. They won't be happy about a 50%, a huge tax increase when they're trying to work their first job. They're okay with starting on the bottom of the totem pole and working their way up to the top. But they're damn sure working their way up to the top, because they are as driven as anybody. They have as big of an entrepreneurial spirit as any Americans ever. They know that they can make money on let go. They know that they can make money flipping things on Craigslist. They are down with it. They are down with seeing how much they can get done at a young age. So they're going to flip the script. The end of the Gen Xers and the beginning of the Gen Zs, Generation Zs, are going to flip the script on all of this. So is the left depending on these people, and they're not going to be there for them, and in this case, exploding themselves from the inside out? Will they, if Donald Trump gets elected in 2020, and in 2018 and 20, the Republicans maintain the House and the Senate, will the left will the Democrat Party be, because of their attachment to the left, will they instantaneously be irrelevant? I don't think they'll be instantaneously irrelevant. But they'll, just like I said about the Republicans, if they lose three major elections, they will be on their way to irrelevancy. Now, it's too early. It's too early to say that about the Democrat Party. Some people are saying that, but I still think it's too early. I think it's way too early to say that they're on their way to irrelevancy, that this is their last gasp. I had a friend say that on the Porch Talk radio program on Saturday. I was like, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that this is a strategy that I don't think is working. I don't think it's working, but this is hardly their last efforts. The problem is, can they get money? Can they get enough money to support this from rank and file people? Or are they just depending on worldwide globalists like George Soros, and there are others, to keep supporting these efforts? Can they continue that? And we're finding out that a lot of, here in Florida, a lot of money to the Democrat candidate, who is more of a globalist, Andrew Gillum, is coming from outside sources. It's coming from outside the state. It's not raised a lot of money or here in Florida. Now, they were able to win the primary for sure, the Democrat primary, but they only were able to win it at the last minute with a huge influx of cash from outside of the state, from organizations inside the country run by George Soros. You know, and you can like it, and you can think I'm a jerk or whatever. You can think I'm a self-hating Negro or whatever. But the fact, but these are facts. This is what this is. And a win for Andrew Gillum in the state of Florida will be turned as a loss for Donald Trump. That in the state that Trump won in 2016. They elected a progressive, not just a Democrat, but a progressive governor in 2018. That will be turned and will be considered a loss for Donald Trump. That the Trump administration is failing. Remember, this is all about shaking down capitalism. And as a proponent of that, you know, scrolling down Trump, right? That's what this is all about. So that's what you're watching. Please don't think you're getting caught up in these issues. The Kavanaugh hearings are not about sexual assault. It's about creating a loss for Donald Trump. Occupy Wall Street was not about what about poor people. It was about destroying capitalism. It's about the institution of socialism. When you've got Canadian superstars that have made millions in a capitalist, in a capitalist system, saying that the United States ought to try socialism. It's about beating down capitalism and destroying capitalists in the meantime if you have to. Well, I hope you enjoy my podcast. I hope you enjoy my thoughts. If you do, send me an email at wls860@gmail.com, wls860@gmail.com. If you don't enjoy it, send me an email at wls860@gmail.com, wls860@gmail.com, or comment down there in the section here on Blog Talk Radio. I'd love to hear from you. Got to get out of here and make room for somebody else until we see you again. Learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, y'all take care of yourselves. We'll see you when we see you.